Hey everybody, you hear that? Sounds like tea time.
Island talk, island talk.
Right here on the kitchen island.
Island talk, island talk.
Right here on the kitchen island.
Island talk, island
tea time.
Talk.
Right here on the kitchen island.
Island talk,
yeah.
Island talk.
Keeping it real and never fake. Right here on the kitchen island. Talk. Dishing the tea with Lady V, BJ, Cheryl T. We forever styling. Real talk about real issues. Feeling like it, then go get a tissue. Walking, talking like a diva should do. Wouldn't choose another sisterhood too.
Island talk, island talk.
Right here on the kitchen island.
Island talk, island talk.
Right here on the kitchen island talk.
And we island are back at the right island. The this is your girl talk. Vanita.
DJ Cheryl T's in the house.
What's up, ladies? What y'all doing?
Nothing much. Just working and getting ready for this hot, blistering summer in Texas.
I don't know why she's getting ready. It's already here, you all. We've had a whole week of 104, 102.
Yes.
We're toasty down here, you all.
We're members of the 100 Club. I mean, it's blistering out there.
100 plus club.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. But that's how it is in Texas. And we all know that. And I don't know, we shouldn't be surprised or shocked, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. But you know what? It's also graduation season, y'all. And so yeah. I don't know if y'all have had to go to any graduations. I was invited to a few, was not able to make any of them. But it's that time of the year where high school seniors are trying to figure out what they want to do, what is going to be the next level. Okay. And I think today would be fitting if we could talk about leveling up.
Leveling up.
Ooh. Leveling up. So, you know what? I'll go ahead and let y'all tell y'all a little bit about my journey, which was after high school. I always knew I wanted to go to college, right? And I wanted to go to HBCU. I just wanted to. And so at the time, I was dating my now husband, and he was already at Alabama State University because he was a year ahead of me. And so, but I had always wanted to go to Atlanta. So I actually went, y'all don't probably know this, but I went to Morris Brown for a semester.
Oh, what? I didn't know that.
I sure did. I went to Morris Brown for a semester. And y'all, I don't even want to admit this, but I was just trying my best to get to that man down in Montgomery, Alabama.
That's what love would do for you.
So I ended up transferring and going to Alabama State and following him.
Wow. That, and look at you now.
Yeah, I know. That was my first leg of the journey. And then the next thing you know, we're engaged. And again, he's ahead of me. So he leaves me at Alabama State and he goes to get his master's in Atlanta, where I already left.
So you guys would eventually connect it because it was destiny.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, when my time was up at Alabama State, we got married and I went to Atlanta and I ended up back up there and he went to, he got his master's at Morehouse School of Religion. So, and then the next, you know, he joined the military and all my dreams and all my aspirations and the things that I wanted to do to level up. Major in psychology, and I wanted to be a psychiatrist or a counselor.
Really?
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to do all that. But no, I got married, and then he joined the military, and we moved to Missouri.
So what did you actually major in undergrad?
Psychology.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So tell our listeners what you ended up doing.
Special ed teacher.
An excellent special ed teacher.
Well, very good special ed teacher.
I appreciate that. But I just kind of fell into that, y'all. It was on my travels following my husband. You know, we're having children and I'm being the person that stays at home because, you know, military people, they get deployed. They have to go to the field. They have to do training. There's so much. So a lot of times I felt, and I'm not saying this in a negative way, I felt like a single parent. Because one of us had to stay at home. But as soon as those children were able to go to school, I was out of there. Yeah. So, and how I got in special ed is when we were stationed in Korea, I decided to start subbing over there so that I'd have something to do. And it was in special ed department. And next thing you know, that was it. That's all she wrote. Special ed from then on, 20 plus years.
Wow.
Yes, that was my level up journey. So now that all my kids are gone and I've retired from special ed, now I'm just living life and having a good time. That was not my path that I chose the way I went, but I wouldn't change anything.
It was chosen for you. It was meant to be in the field you were in because there's so many young people that you have helped over the many, many years that you did special ed.
You've blessed a bunch. I can just see the passion you have just going to your cooking class now. Well, yeah. I think I'll share if it's okay.
Please
go right ahead.
It's a little different. You know how your parents tell you, you ought to go to Harris Teachers College. And I'm like, I don't want to be a teacher in St. Louis. So, of course, I didn't listen to my dad. But at the same time, it was during the 60s and we were integrating the high school. So the counselors really did not get us ready for college. So I bet you 6 to 9 months out, me and my best friend, Glo, we didn't know what college we were going to. We just knew that our grandparents and our parents said, when you go to college. So I knew I was going to college, but I didn't know where I was going. But God is good. So some people from Washington University came to the school and they started saying, do you want to take a test and see if you qualify for a scholarship? Long story short, passed the test and Glo and I both received Danforth and Rockefeller scholarships. So they were half and half, but that's
excellent. College.
All our parents had to do was buy our books. And back then books did not cost a lot, you all. So that's how I got started. Then they said, do you want to get in the work study program? And you'll take tests to see what kind of job you would like. And they were saying I was more administrative and at that time, secretarial. And I was like, oh, no, that's not me. I'm a leader. I knew that much. So I had a job at a place called Famous and Bar, which is now Macy's. And they had us, even though we were college students, they had us pulling paper clips out of computer cards. I was like, this isn't for me. This is an insult. So my friend worked at Dillard's, which is the store that I went to. So she got me a job over there and I leveled up and went to Dillard's. And after some work in a couple of years, I became a merchandise buyer. So then I thought I was really big time. I was flying to Canada, going everywhere to Florida, California and New York, of course, every month to buy merchandise and sell it. So that was my first thing.
So you were a buyer.
I from high school, went into retail and merchandising. And then I said, I need to level up because, you know, my father said, you won't have any benefits if you stay in retail. The benefits were you got clothes and discounts. But what about your retirement and your health care? So then a friend of mine said, they're looking for people at AT&T. Again, you all. She says, I know you have a great work ethic. You were good in school. So I went over and they said, would you like a job? I said, well, I need to interview and talk it over, show you how young and naive I was. Well, let me talk it over with my boyfriend and my parents. I swear I said this.
You said that? Your boyfriend?
Yes. I was naive. So the lady said, yes. Thank you, Lou Rasher, wherever you are. She said, well, go ahead and do that and get back to me. And so then that's how I started my career in AT&T and communications. So sometimes God is just moving you along. You don't know what's going on or why, but he does.
So I got a question for you. What did your boyfriend say when you ask him about getting a job?
He had to check with my boo.
Take it. Take it.
Take it so you can treat. You can pay for the food from now on.
Yes. So that was a part of my journey and leveling up. Yes.
But that is awesome.
And I wanted to be in fashion, but, you know, I just went against what my dad said, but he was right, you know, because that would have been a great backup career. And I ended up doing some teaching later on, but that's my journey. Cheryl?
So I guess I traveled all over when I was younger. I think the school that I stayed in the longest was college, finally, more than 2 years. But the school that I was at in College Park, Georgia, College Park, Georgia, right there by the airport.
Yes.
I was in that school. I think it was the 11th grade when I got in some kind of trouble. and Cheryl got in some kind of trouble. Cheryl said something negative to a teacher, and then I got sent to the principal's office, and then all of a sudden I found myself being suspended for 2 weeks. Now, mind you, we had already moved to Stone Mountain, Georgia, and my mom was just letting me stay in College Park in order to finish out high school because I was on the drill team, I was on the math team. By the way, just want to emphasize, I love math. I used to, you know, be on the math team. We went to Fisk University, and we actually competed at Fisk University while I was on the math team. I love math, and they were going to give me so many different math awards at the end of the junior year, you know, when they give out awards, you know, in front of everybody. And I got in trouble at school. So any rate, my mom was the kind of mom that make you go and apologize to the teacher in front of the classroom, which I had to do at 11th grade. But my mom said, guess what? You're not staying home for no 2 weeks. You about to transfer right over here to the high school in Stone Mountain, Georgia. So you talking about a broken heart. I had to leave my high school in the middle of my junior year, which meant I was on the drill team, the dance squad, the man, all those things I had to leave behind and my friends and go to the school in Stone Mountain, Georgia, which was mostly Caucasian, which was okay because I had been around and been to schools and, you know, where it's mostly Caucasian schools because I've been on both sides of the track most of my life, you know, on both sides. So at any rate, get to the school. And I got to learn everything and everybody in the middle of my junior year because my mom said, there's no way you're going to miss 2 weeks of school. So once I get there, I start to get in where I fit in. I tried out for the squad, the drill team squad there, and I made it. And it was like probably we had probably about 60, probably about, no, I'll say about 30 something girls. And out of those 30 something girls, we had maybe 10 that were African American. And so while I was there, I was in a basic computer science class, and the gentleman came and spoke to us, and I was just taking it as an elective because I love math. I didn't have no idea what I wanted to do when my senior year came around. And so he came to our class, he came to present. He said, what if you took all the computers in the world and you unplug and put it into one plug, and you take that one plug and you unplugged it? That sent off light bulbs in my head. It's like, oh my God, computer science is going to be relevant, you know, because I know I love math, but I just didn't know what to do with it. I was going to be either doing accounting or be in computer science. And when he said that, I said, oh, IT and computers are going to be relevant for years to come. Because I thought about everything that could actually stop when you unplug it. I thought about air traffic control, and I thought about the hospitals. I thought about, you know, all the different, the railroad system, everything, the electric grid, all of that started popping in my head. Like, oh my God, they're going to need computers forever. So I decided, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this computer science thing. Well, one day they said, okay, all of the students that want to go down to the Civic Center, because all the HBCUs were down at the Civic Center, and they allowed us, the African-American people that wanted to go, to have that day off at school. So all of us that was on the dance squad, we got on the city, the MARTA in Atlanta. We rode downtown together. We stayed together as a group. We had our little shirts on so we all could recognize each other. We had matching jerseys and everything. And so when we got down there, I applied for so many different schools. And as you would know it, my PSAT scores were very high when I took the PSAT test. So Iowa State was trying to reach out to me. There's other colleges that wanted me to come. But when I went down to the Civic Center and applied for all HBCUs, Grambling State University reached out to me. And I didn't know anything about Grambling State University. I didn't know anything about any college because nobody in my family had ever gone to college. I was the first one since on both sides of my family since we came over on ships from Africa. So nobody, I am serious. Nobody had ever gone to college on any side of my family. So nobody knew what to tell me to do. So when I saw Grambling State University and I started asking my parents about it, they were like, oh, that's Coach Eddie Robinson, you know, the football coach, famous football coach. My dad knew about that. My stepfather knew about that. Then I remember them on the Coke commercial. Y'all remember the Coca-Cola commercial? Coke is it? Oh, I love that commercial. I was like, oh yeah, the band, I like them. So I decided to go ahead and take Grambling State University as the college of my choice. And my parents drove me out there with $400 in hand for a four-year degree, really five-year degree when you do computer science and minor in mathematics. And that's how I got into Grambling State University. All because I got, first of all, got suspended from school and had to go to another school where I heard an inspirational teacher speaker. And that's how I got into computer science. And then once I got to Grambling, a lot of the, because they were trying to make sure it was equitable for, title that they call it? When you have diversity within corporations. Corporations would come to Grambling to interview us. So by the time I did an internship with IBM, and then by the time I graduated, I walked across the stage. I had three offers from three different locations, all in IT. And that's awesome. How I got into IT, and I'm still doing IT to this day.
Okay. That's awesome, Cheryl. You're awesome. I need to do one thing, if it's okay. I got to give a shout out to my high school, Soldan High School in St. Louis. Listen, like Cheryl, it pays to have good grades. Out of 400 and some students, I was in the top 10. I was number 10. Awesome. And so I'm grateful for that. And I just thought I better bring that up because kids might think you just breeze through, but you got to make some good grades and do the best you can so that you can get offers, you know. And I had other offers, but we were blessed to get those scholarships to go to Washington University in St. Louis. So I just wanted to say shout out to Soldan High School and Washington University.
Woohoo!
Thank you.
So Reedan High School is my high school and Grambling State University is my college. And then I leveled up one more time and went and got my master's at Liberty University in professional counseling.
Awesome.
Go girl. You go girl. Right. So as you can see, all three of our journeys are totally different. Our level ups are totally different. And you know, sometimes you set out to do one thing, even as a child, as a little girl, you say, oh, I want to do this. I want to be this. But as you get older and you start to evolve and seeing, like Cheryl, like you saw this whole thing about technology and you had the insight to say, you know,
light bulb. Yeah,
there's going to be something here. I might need to embark upon that. And so that's awesome. But we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to have some guests to come and join us at the island to talk about leveling up. So we'll be right back. Hi, it's Vanita. Listen, we would love to hear from you with feedback. Let us know if we have been a help in making your day a little bit brighter. We want to make a difference one episode at a time. So check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And as a bonus, we are now on YouTube, so make sure you subscribe to our channel. We can personally be reached at kitchenislandtea@gmail.com and would love to hear from you with topic and guest suggestions. So in the meantime, continue listening to this episode and take care of yourself. Ciao. And we are back at the island and we are so excited. We're going to continue our conversation about leveling up. We just finished telling our three journeys and they were all very different. And so we have three more young people on the island, a recent graduate, which is, I guess, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, she just graduated. A young lady who is dear and near to my heart, Jaylen, is here. Woo-hoo, Jaylen.
Hello.
We also have Camille, who's not a recent graduate. She has already graduated from high school and college and is working on her master's. And she's coming to us from sunny California. What's up, Camille?
Hey, Camille.
And we have at the island our veteran. He's been there, done that, and he's going to talk to us about leveling up and what he is doing now in the present. Rakim, welcome to the island.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
we know everybody's journey looks differently. And so we wanted to come on and share, if anything else, with our recent graduate, Jalen, to maybe help her along the way as far as leveling up and what that might look like, even though her journey will be different, but it's still going to be some similarities. And she's going to need those leveling up tips from us to help her. And also Camille too, because you're still in the works, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So Beverly, I think you're going to go ahead and get us started with this party.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I want to say congratulations to each one of you, Jalen, for graduating from high school, and Camille for almost being at the finish line for your master's, and Roy King for all you're doing already in the work world. And so when we talk about leveling up, that's what we were talking about. You know, what's the next step up? Where do you want to go, and how do you want to do it, or how did you plan to do it, and what really happened? So that's what we did earlier, is share our journey. So first I want to say to Jalen, high school is over and it's college time. Congratulations.
Thank you.
My question for you is, I know it's exciting, but have you ever been away from home for an extended period of time?
I'd say yes and no. Mm-hmm. The longest I've been away from my parents is probably about a month, but I was with my extended family, so I don't think that really counts. But then the longest I've been away from just family in general is about 4 days. I went to church camp in 2017, but that's about the longest I've been away.
So now you know a semester is much longer than that.
Yes.
So my next question is, what mom and daddy rules are you taking to Baylor? Aren't you going to Baylor University?
Yes, ma'am.
And so what mom and dad rules are you taking with you? Or are you leaving them behind?
A lot of the rules they gave me as a kid were kind of really foundational, you know, like be a good person, pull your weight, stay on top of things, stay on top of your grades. So I will be taking those with me, but I've kind of taken them, I don't know, I've kind of reinvented them, I guess, into my own way. So I took it to an extreme and I made a blanket rule. Just don't do anything willingly that you know will disappoint somebody else. And I've kind of tried to live by that. So I've kept my grades up. I've gotten everything done that I was supposed to do. And I think the most important rule that I'm going to take to college with me is to be kind to others, because it can get you a really long way.
I love that. Being kind to people. When you give kindness, you get it in return. But I love the fact that you are taking your mommy and daddy rules, but you enhance them or change them so that they suit you and your and what you're trying to achieve. So that's awesome. Any questions, you all? Anybody want to ask Jalen about that?
I just so excited about Jalen. I wish I had known you back when I went to college, because I left all my mommy and daddy rules at home.
Are they?
I was like, hey, I'm out. Woo! I have that But I reeled it back in because I know I had to move forward. I had to level up. So I had to reel it back in.
Awesome. Well, Camille, you're a graduate of the University of Texas in Austin. So you've already experienced a few leveling up moves, and you're still moving. So how does it feel to be close to receiving your Master of Fine Arts, right?
Yes.
In writing and producing TV?
Mm-hmm. It's a bittersweet feeling, to be honest. I'm like excited because this is my last year of school ever, hopefully, after, you know, 20 plus years. But also it's that feeling like right before the plane takes off, because, you know, after this, it's only up from here. So it's like the butterflies are settling in, and I have like 9 months or a little over 9 months before graduation and like into the real world. So it's a bittersweet feeling for sure.
Wow, you're already writing and producing, right?
I am.
Mm-hmm. So you're just getting the degree, but you're already doing some of the work.
Yes, I am doing a lot of the work on a low budget, independent level, but the degree will help push me forward.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Roy King, it's your turn. You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we know you graduated from Angelo State and your major was political science. So we want you to share with our listeners how your major helped you to get the job that you have today and kind of share what that job is.
My major, which is political science, it didn't help me with my first job, which was working for the HHSC for doing food stamps. So I was basically processing food stamp applications and things like that. But once I got to another job or transferred to DFPS, I started to do contract specialists. Now, political science teaches us, you know, about different, you know, philosophies, and it keys in on politics, but more or less policies as well. So interpreting policies for the contracts is what helped me, which my degree helped me further my job. Then now that I got promoted to contract monitoring or auditing, basically, I have to know all the federal guidelines. I have to know how the grantees, which we call them grantees, with, you know, section codes, they have to follow state and federal. Also, I took a nonprofit course in college as well. So that the nonprofit course is what helped me better prepare for this job that I have now. So learning about 501(c)s and things like that.
So if we want to do nonprofits and get grants, we need to call Rakim.
We do have our own grant writer. We actually have a job where they just do nothing but grant writes and things like that. So yes, ma'am.
So does the state support, say, TV producers or writers, or is it all for social services and things like that?
Majority social services. I have not looked at the other spectrum. I just been focused on serving others. Mm-hmm. So that's all I wanted to do is serve.
I'm just checking for Camille. That's
all. Yeah, you put the question right on my mouth.
I would also say that maybe check the IT department. I know they also have, you know, maybe film development, you know, I mean, it would be obviously for like HHSC purposes or DFPS, you know, services. But I know it's a start though.
Yeah, Camille, I just want to do a follow on question. Camille, is the writer strike, is that affecting you in any way?
It's not affecting me per se, but it is affecting everybody who has just graduated because you cannot get a job. Hopefully it's over soon, but it doesn't have a direct effect on me. I know everybody is like outside picketing and I went the first couple of days, mm-hmm. but it's a hard time being in Hollywood because nobody's working and all shows have stopped filming as well. So it's a tough time in the industry.
It is. My yes. daughter can attest mm-hmm. to that. She was working on a project, a documentary for Hulu, and everything shut down, just stopped. So she's just stagnant, just sitting and waiting. So it's heartbreaking, but hopefully it will end soon.
Yeah,
that's my nephew also. He's in the acting piece of it. And he's like, wow, I need to get a backup plan. So he's trying to take some IT courses just in case, you know. But I just want to find out, was that writer strike going to affect you all? Because I know they're doing a lot of generative AI things to help write scripts. And hopefully they will still keep the human aspect of writing in writing the scripts and the stories.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's kind of hard to use AI to write the scripts and have the human emotion in there. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll get past that. It's just a moment in time. But yeah, I'm looking forward to after the strike.
Okay. We're looking forward to seeing the things that you do write. So I'm going to go to Jalen with this question. And Jalen, I understand you want to be a pediatric psychiatrist. What led you to want to go to that level?
Okay. So this is kind of a long story, but
that's okay. We're here. Okay.
So I've always wanted to do things for others since I was a little kid. And every job that I wanted was really determined by what phase I was in my life. So, for example, when I was 5, I got a dog and I wanted to be a veterinarian. Then when I was 7, I was really getting into baking, so I wanted to be a baker. And then my twin cousins were born in 2014, and I wanted to be a pediatric surgeon. So all of my dreams just depended on what was happening in my life. And then whenever I got to 8th grade, I kind of saw the world differently. And I saw like people struggling with mental health, and there was things that I was going through, And all I wanted to do was help them. And I've always had this thing where I can just read people and kind of see what they need and try to help them out. And when I saw more and more people struggling around me and they weren't getting the attention that they needed, I paired my love of kids with wanting to be a part of rebuilding people's mental health. And that led me to pediatric psychiatry. So it really depended on what was going on in my life. And this has just been the thing that has stuck the longest.
Awesome. That's very honorable of you. I got my master's in professional counseling and from Liberty University. So I know that feeling of wanting to help people with mental health issues. And it's great that you start at a younger age when they're younger, so it doesn't progress to get worse as they get older. And that's helping the parents also, because a lot of times parents don't know what to do when their child is going through that. But that is awesome. I wish you the best of luck in doing that. And we will definitely keep you in our prayers as you go forward in your education.
Yes. Thank you.
That's exciting.
It is.
So to Camille, have you experienced rejection? I know sometimes when we're in the middle of trying to get to where we're going, have you experienced rejection? And then how did you handle it?
Yeah, of course, there's rejection everywhere. I think turning those rejections into like a redirection is kind of how I go about those types of things. For instance, I applied again to grad school to go back to UT Austin, and I didn't get in, but I did get into LMU here in LA. And after I thought about it, I was like, I probably would have never moved to Los Angeles if it wasn't for some type of like foundational setting here. Mm-hmm. So I tried to like look at the positive outcomes, I guess, of those rejections and all the negativity, as well as like with the last film festival that, or the last film that I produced, we applied to over 50 film festivals and we were entered into 25. And because we applied to a lot of big ones, so we were reaching, but why not reach, you know? So yes. Looking at those rejections and seeing the ones that we did get into, and we did get into a few big ones around the country that we didn't even know of, just opened new doors for other possibilities.
Awesome. I always say rejection is God's protection. He's keeping you, protecting you for something. So don't see it as rejection, just see it as him protecting you. Exactly. So go ahead.
Before you go on, I want to ask Roy King the same thing. Have you had any stumbling blocks or things that some sort of rejection that held you up from going towards your goal?
Well, I guess I could say I'm currently going through one right now, which is trying to get into law school. The LSAT test has been my biggest problem. I'm not much of a test taker. I have gotten better over the years, even, you know, getting through college, but it's always trying to study for myself. So with this new job, I was able to save up money to take a LSAT course that starts this fall. So hopefully taking the LSAT course and seeing things from a different perspective than my perspective would help me, you know, at least get a better score to get into law school. Other rejections may have been just trying to find a job. And I feel like I applied every year, especially after college. But the only job that called me back was the state. And everything since then has just been reassurance on why that other jobs was better not to call me back than the state. So
you where you're supposed to be.
Right. Yes, ma'am. Yes,
thank you.
And this is to you also, Rakim. I know you have British Lit as your minor. What made you select British literature as your minor? I'm just curious.
That's just, to me, random. I don't know why it just is.
Well, it's not so random, to be honest. It's a twofold question. Twofold answer, excuse me. One, it has to deal with sister peoples. When I was younger, I couldn't read. So my dad would take me to the church, you know, after jam session on Wednesday, and I would work with Sister Smith and Miss Peoples, and she would help me read, you know, comprehend and things like that. I was held back in the fifth grade. I was upset with my father for doing that because I felt like, you know, I just wanted to move on with my friends. And my dad told me on a car ride home that, you know, you may be upset with me, yada, 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 but one day you're going to look back at this decision that I made for you and it's going to be the best decision. So as I got older, getting to college, and like what I said, political science is and philosophy and literature is just nothing but reading and comprehending and writing papers. Yeah. So it's like life came into a full circle. And the second answer, second part of the answer is I just took a random British literature course. And I like the poems. I like the stories about history, you know, especially with Mary Wollstonecraft, the vindication of women's rights, also John Donne, Tennant Abbey, you know, just a bunch of stories that, you know, I liked about the British lit. And I also, you know, I was a fan of British literature, I mean, history as well, King Henry, and, you know, I can go on and on. But that was the main reason on why I did the British literature.
Awesome, awesome. So with that, we are going to take a Kitchen Island Tea break. Thank our guests for giving us some great answers and some great inspirational feedback.
Yes, ma'am.
We'll be back.
We are back at the island, and I'm just so excited and appreciative of the young people that have come to the island this afternoon. So thank you, thank you, thank you again. Jalen, I'm going to start out with you. You have so many wonderful achievements. Magna cum laude graduate, top health science clinical student, and there's so many more. What advice, and by the way, I'm very, very proud of you. I mean, none of this is shocking to me. I know you have that in you, and I know you have even more, and you're going to go on to do great things. So what I would like to ask you is, what advice do you have for high school seniors? Looking back on your high school senior year, what do you wish you could have done differently or better? Or maybe you were glad you did what you did?
Yes, there are some things that I wish I would have, that other seniors would have told me about before I started senior year. Like, I went around and asked people, like, what do you think? Like, how was your senior year? What do I need to do? And they're like, oh, senior year is great. Like, you're gonna have so much fun. You don't have any work. You don't have to do anything. And I was like, okay, that's kind of, I was kind of confused, but I was like, okay, let's see what happens. So I really wish that someone would have told me that senior year is not a slack off year. I didn't treat it as one, but just going into it, I wish I would have known what it was going to be like. Senior year is really the year to buckle down on all of your classes. A lot of people think once you get to the end that you can just slack off and take easier classes. And I do have a lot of friends that did that, and they regretted it in the end because, you know, you stop taking the higher level classes that you took freshman through junior year, and your GPA drops, and colleges are really looking for you to finish out the, like, your 4 years really strong. And if you slack off during senior year, there are consequences. You can get scholarships taken away. You can not get accepted into your colleges that you wanted to get into. So that was a really big thing. And then, like I said, continue taking higher level courses because it'll bump your GPA. And if you do struggle in some of your classes, you'll have that extra cushion to back you up. And then I also learned to just get things done whenever I have it. Throughout freshman through junior year, I always knew that I would get my stuff turned in on time. It didn't matter when I did it, as long as it was before the due date, I knew it was gonna get done because that's just how I am. But senior year, I just told myself, like, why are you waiting to get your work done and stressing right before the deadline? Just get it done when you have it, and you'll have a lot more time in the end. Because there was a lot of times where I would be fretting doing an assignment or writing a paper, and I would just get it done, and I would tell myself that wasn't that bad. Why didn't you just get it done? So that's one thing. And then the last thing is to go out and do things. Because your senior year is supposed to be fun. It's your last year in public school. It's your last year with all of your friends in one place. So I just say, do as much as you can. Go to the football games, go to basketball games, go to school events. Just go out and have fun. but still get your work done, you know, but just have fun because you're going to regret it if you don't.
All right.
That was a nice balance. That was a nice balanced question.
Anita, can we ask Camille and Roy King that too?
Sure. Go for it.
Camille, tell us what you think.
About my senior year? Or I wish, I guess two things. Similar to Jalen, I wish I would, or I wish I could tell myself to like nip the procrastination bug that I have that is still with me till today. It is kind of, I don't know if it's being creative or what it is, but I guess my best ideas come at the very end of everything. But if I would have started tackling that earlier on in life, I think it would have set me up just a little bit better. Another thing I think I would tell myself is that I am capable of doing things and I can do stuff. So one thing that just a possibility that never, I guess, was in my wheelhouse, I didn't think that I could go to college for tennis. And like looking back, I think I probably could have played tennis in college. I just didn't think that like it was a possibility for me. And so I just never tried. I never even put any effort into it other than being tennis or being good in tennis in high school. So I think I would have probably told myself, you know, you can actually do this and you should actually maybe try for it.
Wow, that's awesome. Because you do have some young people that, you know, play a sport in high school and then don't feel like they can do it in college.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's not that they don't feel like they can do it. They don't feel like it's relevant in college, you know, that they can get a lot of students don't know they can get scholarships in certain sports or even being, you know, an avid reader. They don't know the benefits out there. It was years before I realized you can get scholarship in volleyball and tennis and golf and all those things that are offered in high school. You can get scholarships for those things. So it's more of knowing the resources, you know, sometimes dictates where you go. A college that's heavy into sports, into football or tennis or golf or any of those things, lacrosse. I never went to those kind of schools, but still.
Well, for our listeners, Camille was an excellent tennis player and an excellent golfer.
Yes.
Yes.
Rakim. Do you still play golf, Camille?
I haven't played since 2020, but I play tennis weekly here.
Okay. Okay.
Awesome.
What about you, Rakim?
My answer is kind of similar to Camille, but I wish I would have not stopped playing the cello. And yes, ma'am. I stopped playing the cello my freshman year. I was even all district. Eighth grade year, and the instructor wanted me, you know, to play out, but I chose football over playing the cello, which that's another story for another day. But that's my biggest regret, because I always felt like that I couldn't do both, when in fact that I could have did both. And something else I would have probably told my younger self is stop being lazy. that was my biggest issue when I was younger is the laziness, and it took all the way into college probably my sophomore year, junior year, to kick the lazy bug and turn things in on time, because I always waited to the last minute. And yeah, that was stressful but not playing the cello, that hurt me the most. I still have, you know, I still think about it even to this day, because I was really good at it.
You can go back to it, because music is very soothing.
Yes.
I stopped piano lessons, but I started back just teaching myself. And whenever I'm stressed or when I just need to be in a space by myself, I can start playing the piano and feel wonderful. I don't know how my family feels about that, because I might hit a few bad notes, but it's a nice soothing feeling. So don't give it up.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. So this question is to Camille. I know you just talked about your recent project. You didn't give the name, but the name is Dream Carriers. And I know it has had a successful run in over 25 film festivals around the country. And you guys received several awards. How did that come about?
Yeah, so one of my friends I went to high school with and to college, we were in the media program at Brackenridge High School. And then we went to UT Austin for radio, television, and film. So we're just really good friends. She really wanted to do something in 2021, like out right during the pandemic. She was like, I just really want to be creative. So She asked me to join her in making a film. It's a love letter to San Antonio, based on her experience. And excuse me, and her grandparents who migrated from Mexico to San Antonio. And it's told through the migration of butterflies, which travel, or the migration of monarch butterflies, which from Mexico to Canada throughout the year. And every time they travel to a different place, they leave a new generation of butterflies. So it's kind of told through that story. But yeah, so she just asked me if I wanted to do it. And I was like, you know what? I have nothing to do, pretty much. So I was like, I'm totally down. And I was getting ready to go into my master's program. So I kind of want to get some more producing under my belt before I went fully in. And it was a really big success, thankfully.
Awesome. That is fantastic. So it's called Dream Carriers.
Mm-hmm. And that's also the name on Instagram if you want to check it out. It's actually playing in a film festival in San Antonio in about 2 weeks, I believe.
Okay. Really? That means we gotta go see it.
Yes, we will. That's awesome.
Well, will we see your name on the credits?
It will be there a couple of times.
Yes, I'm going for sure.
So you don't have any kind of professional name. It'll be Camille Chambers?
It'll be Camille Chambers, yes.
Okay. All right. So we'll look for that. Well, I have a question for Roy King. What's the biggest difference that you see in college and now that you're in the workplace? What's the biggest difference?
Bills.
Say that so Jalen can hear it. Bill.
Say it again. What's the biggest difference?
Bills. The biggest thing, when I think about it, because you have to establish a network in college, but you have to learn how to be more professional in the work world. You have to know your surroundings a lot. I don't know, sometimes I think about it, it's not that much of a difference. It's just more, what's that word I'm looking for? Like everything is more scrutinized in a sense. So you just have to be more aware outside of college than how you were in college. Cause sometimes in college you can kind of, you know, ease back, your parents is not around, but the professors doesn't make you go to class, you know? You don't go to class, you don't get your degree. Versus you not going to your job, you won't be able to support yourself, or, you know, if you hopes to have a family, you know, support your family as well. So it's just knowing the difference between the two, because, you know, you can always go to your professor and come up with an excuse, but for your job, you're just basically going to be replaced. You always got to think about yourself being a cog in a machine. So once you do understand that, you have to know what makes you separate yourself from the rest, where, you know, if something, you know, drastically happened, you at least have your work ethic and your attendance to separate you from the rest.
Awesome.
I agree.
I know what my difference was. I was like, no Christmas break once I started working. I was like, what? I got to take vacation?
We still get Christmas break. We still get Thanksgiving, Labor Day. We do get a lot of days off. When I was at the HHSC versus DFPS, we have these days called Skeleton Crew Day. For example, Juneteenth, we didn't get that off. We had to request it off. So my friends who worked at HHSC, they still had to go to work. But at DFPS, they was like, all right, well, see you later. Basically, you can have that day off. So our skeleton crew days, we can either work them or don't. But if you do work on your skeleton crew day, they give you 8 hours where you can take, you know, whenever. But we still get plenty of time off. We get probably a lot more time off at DFPS, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was used to my month break during the Christmas holiday. You don't have that.
I can't be off of work that long. I wouldn't want to, because then I'll get lazy, then work will pile up, and I like to overachieve on my deadlines.
The only people that get those kind of breaks are educators, you know, with the Christmas and the Thanksgiving and all those different holidays, educators get it. So get those breaks. So I'm going to switch over to Jalen. And speaking of education, I'm going to throw an extra question in here, Jalen. I know you can handle it. Coming from a family of educators, I know your parents are educators, your grandparents are educators. Was there ever any pressure to do all the right things in school, but to even go into education, did you ever feel like maybe I should be doing what they're doing?
I definitely think at the beginning of my schooling, there was a little bit of pressure to just do well because, you know, your parents set expectations for you and you want to make them happy. So there was that. But then I've also talked about how I took it to an extreme and I kind of took their expectations to another level because then there was no room for me to mess up. Like, I'm only disappointing myself. So I think that there was pressure for that, but there was never pressure for me to go into education.
Okay.
My mom becoming a principal did kind of solidify what I want to do in the future because, you know, she deals with kids a lot and there's sometimes that they come to her with problems and she can't do anything because she's a principal. But, you know, being certified and getting my medical doctorate degree and becoming a psychiatrist, I'm able to do something about that. So I think they did help a little bit with deciding, but I never felt pressured to go into education because of them.
Okay. So then my next question to you, Jaylen, if you were writing a thank you card to your teachers and your parents, in other words, those that have supported you through high school, what would you say on that thank you note?
Well, there's one specific teacher that I would want to highlight. Her name is Miss Fig. I had her for 3 years. She teaches GT and academic decathlon and ISM. So I took her leadership course and her beginning GT course and ISM my senior year. And I think she really taught me the things that I'm going to need in my life, because there are a lot of things you learn at school that you just have to learn, but you're never going to use them. But that her class was very life-based. A lot of life scenarios. I learned about interviewing. I learned about public speaking. I learned how to network. She always told us, everybody knows someone who knows someone who is someone. So you always want to talk to somebody and see if they know somebody and you can get connections. For example, my ISM class that I took, it stands for Independent Study Mentorship. So I pick a mentor at the beginning of the school year and I go and study under them the whole year and go into their workplace and shadow them and work with them. And my mom knew a child psychologist from her previous job. So I met him and I got to go and shadow him. And that was pretty cool. And that really also solidified that I do want to work with kids in the future. I would thank her for teaching us life lessons and really letting us be teenagers, because all of the other teachers are really saying, like, you need to get ready for your future. Like, you need to do well. This is what you need to do. And she did say that, but she also let us chill sometimes. She gave us these sessions called Hygge, and we'd sit around a table in the dark with candles and just talk about our lives, talk about things that are going on, just get things off of our chest. She'd give us breaks. She tried to incorporate little celebrations to celebrate us throughout the year so we'd have more breaks, but they'd still tie into the curriculum, because sometimes you do need that break and a lot of your teachers aren't going to provide that for you. So I'm really grateful that she was able to do that for me. And then I thank my parents for just laying the foundation for everything that I do now, because a lot of the things that they've taught me, I've used lots of times. And I can really see myself, like, see parts of them in me even now. So I thank them for supporting me. And then I'd also thank everybody who didn't support me, because that was just an extra push to keep going, because you have doubters, you got to prove them wrong, you know?
I like that.
Great attitude. Yeah.
And then I like to thank the three of you guys, the hosts, for giving me an image of strong woman to strive to become. So thank you guys for supporting.
Oh,
we love you. Jaylen, we love you.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
I'm going to expect the other two people to say the same thing.
I second Jaylen, actually.
Awesome. Thank you all. Yeah.
Okay. So Camille, I'm going to switch to you. If you could write a letter to your high school self, what would you say to yourself?
I guess similar to what I said earlier, you are capable of doing what you want to do. I used to tell myself this a lot as a young child, is that like, you know, why reach for the sky when there's footsteps on the moon? And I think that I would probably go back to myself and write that to me, I guess, and say, like, you know, your dreams are achievable. So go for your biggest and wildest dreams.
Say wow. that one more time about the sky and the moon.
Yeah, it's why reach for the sky when there's footsteps on the moon?
Wow. I like it.
You're taking notes, Beverly, because I need to say that again.
Yes. I have a add-on for Camille. So then how would your, if you had to write that same thank you note that we asked Jalen about, what would be your thank you note?
Yeah, I would think a lot of people. I think it takes a village to raise a person. And my foundation is a huge foundation built on a lot of, I think, old school practices and new school practices, which I think has helped me stay grounded to myself, even being out here in LA where you're like tempted by all of Hollywood and doing all the things. Mm-hmm. But I think growing up from just my family and then church family as well, kind of laid a foundation in me that I was able to decipher between what it is that I want to do and not being distracted by those distractions. But I guess one of the other one person besides my mom that I would direct my support to or thankfulness to would be my brother, which is like kind of odd thinking that, you know, whenever we were younger, I was like, I don't think I'm gonna like him when I grow up, but he turned out to be one of my biggest supporters and one of also my biggest inspirations, just because I saw him continue to go on for his dreams. And as you may or may not know, he runs a vintage resale clothing store in Dallas. And as many times as people have told him, you know, don't do this, you should do this, you should go to the military, or just kind of having an idea on what they think that his life should be, he did what he wanted to do and he's been successful in it. And so that kind of inspired me to just keep going for what I want to do and letting my creative passion lead the way.
Awesome. So give a shout out to your brother, girl. Say his name.
Say his name.
I'm gonna say his full name. He's me mad, but Mac Earl Chambers Jr.
All right. I remember Mac. You remember Mac, huh, Rakim?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
So, Rakim, I'm gonna let you kind of end this for our guests today. I would like to ask you, what advice would you give to high school grads and those like Camille that are getting their master's? What advice?
Well, for one, I would say be aware of your surroundings. Always know who you're around, what their intentions are. Know that, you know, my dad always used to say, I'm gonna send you to the store, make sure you come back with the groceries. So basically, you know, go to college, you know, and it's okay to have fun. You don't have to live military wise when you go to college. You know, I was more or less military. You know, Saturdays we're studying, you know, we get up at 9 and do this and make sure we're done by 2 o'clock and we're not going out party. Go out and enjoy yourself. Go out and enjoy yourself. Be responsible. Never leave your drink unattended.
That advice. You're saying the right thing.
Yes, ma'am. But just enjoy yourself. Because if you just sit there and just say school, you're gonna miss out meeting people who are made more or less will be something in this world. Another thing is visit your professors during the office hours. They already have the connections, you know, they're there for a reason. Even if you're going to talk to them about something that you already know, just strike up a conversation with them, get to know them. Some professors are good, you know, good professors, and some of them, you know, to stay away from. But just be aware of your surroundings. And lastly, I would say stay in the church. Stay going to church. When I was back in college, and I didn't go as often as I should. Now, granted, I was in San Angelo, but that's still not an excuse for me to at least tune into the live stream, or at least take a, you know, weekend down to San Antonio and go to church. But also, you know, go to church, read your Bible, find a group of people who are more or less better than you. You don't want to find people who is the same as you. You want to find people who is either better than you or trying to achieve, you know, the moon, basically. Because those people is you either going to work harder to get to their level, or you're going to fall by the wayside. So that's what I would say.
I like excellent. I needed great all job. That advice too. I'm sorry, Cheryl and Beverly, I'm going to have to put y'all down because y'all are not.
What? We ain't at that level.
Those are great words of wisdom. Excellent words of wisdom.
And you also don't need a whole bunch of people around you. The older you get, you're gonna notice that as long as you have two or three friends who are gonna be there, and most friends, to be honest with you, you're not gonna talk to them every single day. You probably don't want to talk to them every single day because that means they have maybe too much time on their hands instead of them trying to do something with themselves. Now, granted, sometimes you do have friends where you can, because they're probably in the same realm as you, so they have the same schedules and times as you. But get friends who, you know, you might not talk to as much, but they're still going to have the love for you. And whenever you reach out to them, you're able to talk to them, and they're respectful of you and also respectful of your situation.
Excellent. Excellent words of wisdom. I needed all of that. That applies to all of us in some form or fashion.
Whatever level you're on.
I just want to add to what Rakim was saying. I like to always put yourself like in the center of a cross. And you always have somebody up front that you're trying to elevate to, you know, that you're trying to get to. Then you have the people on the side of you that's keeping you sane and going to correct you when you need correcting. That's your ride or die that's going to tell you the truth about yourself. Then you have somebody that's behind you that you're mentoring. So you always want to pay it forward to somebody else. So I always like to say, put yourself in the center, look at, have somebody that's mentoring you, have somebody behind you that you're mentoring. And then also off to the side of you, your ride or dies that's going to make sure you stay level.
Never forget where you come from.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
yes.
What you've been taught. You're going to have to lean in onto some of those values to be successful in this world. This world's crazy.
And I'll also say, be good to people as well. You never know what people are going through, especially, you know, young adults and y'all going through college and things like that. Because some students, their main focus isn't school at the moment. It's, you know, mama and dad's at home sick, or they may have to pick up an extra shift to, you know, pay the bills and things like that. So also be keen to their situations, because the more you're not keen to their situation and at least understanding and being there for them, the quicker God will put you in that position as well. So be always respectful to people in their environment or to their decisions and things like that. That's one of the lessons I did learn as well, because I wouldn't say I would judge people. Well, that's lying. I probably would judge people in a sense. Then 2 days later, I would be in the same position as them always. So never look down on people, because the quicker you look down on them, the more they will be above you. And you'll be asking them for help instead of the other way around.
Wow.
Well, laugh to catch is what they say in the Louisiana slang. Laugh to catch. You laugh at somebody else, you're going to catch what they got.
Exactly. And you all remember that Jalen said that at the beginning of our discussion, be kind.
Yes.
Be kind to others. And so I know that all three of you are kind to others, because I've seen you demonstrate it. And so we're just grateful and thankful that you all came on. So I know you helped somebody. You helped us old girls. Well, I'm the old girl, but you helped us as well in things that we face in life and how we can approach them. Oh, thank you.
So I just want to take this time out to thank you for coming on Kitchen Island Tea Podcast. You are now officially Islanders. And you are always welcome back anytime, especially if something special is going on, a promotion, a new film, going from freshman to sophomore. You made it, Jalen, in college, or any successes, reach out to us. And we would love to share with our listeners your successes, because we're rooting for all three of you. There's always leveling up. No matter where you are right now, you're still going to be or need to strive for leveling up. Okay. Just as us three are. I'm always striving to level up to something different, something better. So again, we so appreciate you coming and sharing your journeys. Anything else, ladies, before we let them go?
Just another
attitude of gratitude. Give me one thing that you're grateful for.
Anybody?
I guess I'll start by saying, I know it's a cliche answer, but I got to get it first out the way. I would say God, you know, but grateful for the most, sorry, Mom, but it's really my father. And Sister Mitchell, you know, and, you know, Sister Thompson and Miss Beverly, you know, who my dad was, and living with him was tough. And so every time I see him and he speaks in front of the church and things like that, it's just showing how far he came from, you know. And he was always a good father, and he is a good father. And that's just someone who I'm very grateful for, because I don't think I would be as far as I am today without him.
Awesome.
Camille?
Yeah, I have to say today I am very grateful for my health. And being in good health. And I also want to say I'm just very grateful for having a support system that is here, that I always know I can fall back on, and just have somebody that is here to, you know, push you forward as well.
She's modest, you all. She ought to be shouting out to her mom. Her mom is a big supporter. She's just being modest.
She's always talking about you. Yes. I just saw her mom too when my dad was out there preaching at the small church at Hebron. So I did see her mom recently.
Okay. Awesome. Jalen?
I just say I'm grateful for my opportunities that I've had and the experiences that I've gotten throughout my schooling and throughout my life, because a lot of the things that I've done and gotten to experience that other people haven't have really helped me and molded me to who I am today. So I'm really grateful that I had that opportunity.
Wow, that's awesome. So I just want to say I'm grateful for everyone that's on this Zoom call. This podcast is meant to be a blessing for at least one person in the world. And you guys have been honest and real. And I know that this episode will touch someone, whether they're getting ready to be a junior or senior in high school or in college or in the workforce. You guys have been very inspirational today. I'm so grateful for you coming on, taking time out of your busy schedules from Netflix or whatever you were watching. And you're welcome back at the island anytime.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for having me as well.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed myself.
Great. Yay! Okay, without further ado, I'm going to say adios.
Ciao, Bella.
Keep listening.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you for listening.